need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tompa's talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate,
Water Toaster.
Oh, it's my mate,
Water Toaster.
Yeah, yeah, it's my mate,
Water Toaster.
Toaster for my love, thank God, Toaster.
Hello, welcome along. It is your second hit of My Mate Bought a Toaster in 1 week, you lucky, lucky things. Thank you again to the fabulous Sophie McCartney. I hope you've all followed her on Instagram after listening to and hopefully watching bits of that episode. She's really, really funny. Go and see her live. And once again, here we are to take a slightly deeper dive into this week's episode. My guest this week, after a frenzied back and forth with her agent, with her representatives, I'm once more really happy and honoured to welcome the Sunday Times top 10 best-selling author and also my wife, Beth Morrie. Hello.
Hello to you.
How are you?
I am riddled with hay fever. Thank you.
Yes, you're really struggling at the moment, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Everyone in our house has got hay fever apart from me, so I'm sort of roaming around. I'm doing that thing of people who don't have hay fever, I keep telling you that it's a cold.
I know, you keep purporting this theory that you have superior genes therefore you don't suffer from allergies.
Yeah.
But actually it's not true and you do suffer.
Because the kids have got my genes.
Well, yes, clearly. But also you do suffer from hay fever, you just deny it.
I was walking towards our friend Alison today. Hello to lovely Alison Carpenter, brilliant TV producer. I was walking towards her on the street and I said, Alison, and at that moment, a blade is the only way I can describe it. A blade of pollen landed on my eye and it was like I'd been stabbed in the eye, I'd imagine. And I literally went, Alison! And then I went, ah! And just basically held onto my eye and she was on a phone call. So she didn't even stop to say hi. She just. So look, let's talk about Sophie McCartney. What a great episode. I loved her. She's so funny. And there were a lot of things resonating with her episode.
Yes. At one point, I decided I was deeply in love with her.
So did I, weirdly.
I'm allowed to be. though it did change. There's one drawback that I'll come to later. Mm-hmm. But overall, what a great episode. Mm-hmm. And in preparing in great depth to record this podcast, I have written down 5 words.
You've done preparation for this?
I have.
Oh, my God, this
I've
is great.
I've written down 5 words.
Do you know what? You have done more preparation for this spin-off than either Sophie or I did for the actual show. So thank you, please.
Well, I'm a very organised mum.
You are.
So my 5 words that made me deeply happy about this episode were wigs, cocktails,
yes,
ghosts, dogs, book.
Yes. Do you know what?
That's the essence of the episode.
I've just realised, don't put the list away. You're putting your list away.
We need to, that was committed to memory now.
No. I just realised every single one of those things you absolutely love.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's look at wigs first of all. So she started off with the Boris Johnson wig. You also love a wig. And we went to a 90s disco the other night and you decided to dye your hair red. And I did think at one stage, why don't you just pop one of your wigs on, because you've got loads of wigs.
It was because, although I do have loads of wigs, I didn't have the right hairstyle because I was dressing as Angela Chase from My So-Called Life. She
niche.
Had a kind of long, niche but brilliant. Mm. She had a kind of long bob and I don't have a long bob red wig, though I do have many, many wigs. But
how many wigs do you think you own? Because this is the question I've never asked you.
It's really difficult to tell because I've got nowhere to store them all. And so they're stashed in different rooms and drawers in the house.
That's why I got pest control out the other day.
Well, come to pest control. But I have loads and loads of wigs. I've got like curly blonde ones. I've got my favourite wig of all is a long, slightly wavy, slightly red wig that I look incredible
you
in.
Do. You look gorgeous in it, yes.
And it was bought for one of my fancy dress projects, but I loved it so much that I sometimes just wear it out when I want to look better than normal.
When you put a wig on as well, you do change personality a bit.
I become the person I'm supposed to be with good hair.
Yeah, because you get upset about your hair being... I mean, I get upset about my hair leaving the building 10 years ago, whereas you get upset about your hair being very straight, don't you? That's
straight.
What bothers
you. I deserve curly hair.
So all your wigs are a curly-based vibe?
Yeah, generally, yeah. Mm. Big hair, like Marge Simpson.
So why didn't you... So you didn't put a wig on the other day?
Because I didn't have the right hairstyle wig.
Oh, that's a real...
But if you, that was what I was going to say. If you look at my Amazon wish list, it's two things. It's wigs and it's pest control. Those are the two things. Just series of wigs, series of different options for pest control.
Can we talk about pest control? And this relates... Did we talk about pest control on the podcast?
Not that I remember.
No, okay. Because that does come up quite a lot. One of the... A topic that I see again and again on the over 130-odd episodes we've done. Don't forget to go and check them all out. They're all there on your feed. Is clothes moths. And Beth Morrie, you sent me one of the most extraordinary products I have ever seen in my life the other day. So look, clothes moths, they're an absolute nightmare. At this time of year, they're starting to really kick off. And people have a very hippy-dippy approach to clothes moths, right? People go, oh, I'm going to put this like this wooden ball.
That's- lavender.
Yeah.
They're repelled by lavender. What a load of bollocks.
Yeah, you get no clothes moths and loads of old ladies gathering in your drawers. Like, no one, they don't
work. Cedar balls.
Cedar balls. And every time, it means that every time I open, there's drawers in the house. Every time I open them, there's a delay and then all these wooden balls come towards me like a pool table emptying out. So, they don't work. Nothing works.
No, really? I mean, our dog Peggy, she likes to kill a moth of an evening, usually when we're about to go to sleep.
Yes,
and she's about as effective a moth control as fucking cedar balls.
We should rename Peggy Cedar Balls. Old Cedar Balls over there. Yeah, she does. It's very annoying when she does that. She does a big old... It's because she's a hunting dog. She's got bloodlust. And the other thing as well, while we're ranting about clothes moths, and hopefully... You know, you hate them as well because we're about to offer you the most batshit solution to clothes moths. The other thing I really dislike about them, right, is when you kill them, they just sort of evaporate.
Yeah, they sort of grind to dust.
They grind to dust, right? Like in that Indiana Jones movie when the guy drinks from the wrong cup, Holy Grail thing, right? But what I have observed is when I get them and they're on the wall often, and I'll bang them on the wall, and then they don't grind to dust on the wall. They become...
No, they're a smear.
They smear, and you get scars. You get these scars on your walls of clothes moths.
Mm.
So they're not just clothes; they're wall bothering moths as well. I absolutely hate them. Please tell me the product you sent me the other day.
I read it. I can't even remember where I read it. It's so deeply concerning, this solution, but it might just work. It's where you buy these tiny microscopic parasitic wasps that hatch in your house, and their sole purpose in life is to lay eggs in the eggs of moths. It's and incredible. So they hatch. Apparently you can't see them, but they make me deeply worried.
To add another element to this, you need to know that Beth is absolutely terrified of wasps.
Terrified of wasps.
And not just she's a bit scared of wasps. We're talking you've tried therapies, massive problems on holidays. Like, your things, Beth, are being allergic to mustard and scared of wasps, and you love dogs. That is Beth Morrie in three sentences. So you are terrified of wasps, and yet here is a product that is literally selling you wasps.
Well, according to the research that I've done, the wasps are so... they're completely harmless, these wasps, apart from to moths. They're deadly to moths, but they're completely harmless to humans. And from what I understand, they're really, really small. I'm not sure you can even see them. But they hatch from, like, you get, like, this little packet that you leave in your wardrobe, and they hatch, and then they kill all the moths. And then as soon as they've killed all the moths, they die.
It is like... a wasp army.
Yes, but tiny.
You're getting a battalion of tiny wasps to go and do your killing for you.
And it's a measure of how much I hate the moths that I'm considering introducing wasps to our household to combat them.
I would suggest that we do it. Because for the purposes of this, because then we can update people in a week's time.
I might have to move out while we do it.
So I'm looking at it here. We're going to put a link to this product, by the way, on today's episode description. And can I say, I have to make it very clear. These links that we put on are called affiliate links. So if you click on the link and you buy something off the link, we make money off it. I mean, we make about 8p.
If we make money out of wasps, does that destroy my phobia?
Yeah. Finally, you're monetizing your biggest fear. God, there's something in that. So I'm going to put a link on the episode description. The Ich Neumann Wasps Against Food and Clothes Moths. More effective than food moth traps. Alternative moth protection to moth trap. There's only two reviews.
It's not great.
They're not great reviews, but you've absolutely got to try it, because also our carpets are ruined. It's a German product. Look. Monsieur Hochwichsgagenstock. The whole thing's described in German. So it seems to be some sort of German product. Look, the only review
is in German.
Problem ist mal.
Translate it so we can see.
I can't open another window.
Translate review to English there.
What is that? Translate all reviews to English. No, got it. Problem solved for now. It worked for me now. I can't see moths anymore right now. Only 4 stars.
That feels harsh.
That feels. Do you think that's. Here's another question. Do you think there's a Germanic. It did everything I needed to do, but I'm not going to give it the 5.
I don't know, but that does seem a bit unfair.
We'll have to ask our friend Barbara, who's German. Is that a thing? Is it very hard to get 5 stars out of a German audience? Wow. Well, that's quite a good review from Germany there. Listen, I'm going to put a link on the thing. I think we should get them. They're only also £17.50 to get your wasp army.
To get your house full of wasps.
If we get a wasp army, can I be the wasp colonel? And can I get some sort of costume? Can I use one of your wigs?
Cosplaying. Oh, the things join up.
Oh, God, I love it. Absolutely love it. All right. So like I say, there'll be a link to what is easily the maddest product that I've ever seen. Also, going back to Sophie's episode, I'm cross with myself because we talked about wigs at the beginning and then we went on to syrup and I didn't make the connection.
Oh, dear. Yeah, you didn't.
And when I edited it, I was like, Tom... That was so there for the taking. So she talked about syrups. She talked about making cocktails, which is something
cocktails. That was a lockdown thing, wasn't it? And it brought back sort of good, bad memories because she made gina coladas, which I was intrigued by. But I mean, I have to say they sounded gross, that pineapple syrup thing.
Well, you don't really have a sweet tooth. I have a sweet tooth, but you've got a gin mouth. I don't have a gin mouth.
I did during lockdown. My thing was Eastern Standard cocktails.
That's right. God, I remember.
Do you remember? And
you used to say that every day, that phrase.
I had one a night. It was terrible. Yeah. And I used to order cane syrup off Amazon.
So
for my nightly cocktail.
Cane syrup. Now, explain what cane syrup is to the uninitiated, because it's basically
sugar. I don't know what it is. It's an ingredient in an Eastern Standard cocktail.
It's very expensive because it's sugar cane, as in sugar cane. It's just sugar
sort of
water.
Liquid sugar.
But I remember during lockdown, you had bought cane syrup and it was, you know, you being you, it had cost money. So you were as tight as is your wont. And there was a bee dying outside. Do you remember this?
The
boys, one of our kids, the youngest kid, knew that to rescue the bee. So I said, I know where the sugary water. And I remember pouring the cane syrup onto a teaspoon and you were furious.
Just give it some gin as well, why don't you?
Pouring my expensive ingredients into a bee, which actually survived. I can't drink gin. You know, gin makes me vomit.
Well, I mean, I had to really give up my Eastern Standard habit when we came out of lockdown. It was quite tough.
What's the drink that makes you illest, sickest?
Ooh.
You can drink anything. I've seen you drink. You don't drink beer, really, or cider.
I suppose I've had, I had a teenage encounter with cider, but it doesn't make me sick. It just makes me not like it.
I've never seen you drink lager or beer.
Ugh, no, I just don't like it.
Because you gave up alcohol for quite a while. Mm. And you've gone back on it.
Sparingly.
Because of being married to me. We had a very nice rosé, didn't we?
I've got to drink high quality drinks. Mm. And I'm afraid the gin and colada, I just thought sounded really gross.
Yeah, I don't, that's not of interest.
But I heartily applaud the cocktail making ceremony.
But what's the you make a cosmopolitan.
Yeah, that's probably my go-to now.
You haven't made a cosmopolitan for ages.
Well, no, because it's a slippery slope, isn't it?
Well, the thing about a cocktail is you have them early on an empty, not you, one has them early on an empty stomach and then it's just like they really smack you in the brain.
Yeah, they say with a cocktail that one is not quite enough and two is too much.
Yes.
And that's how it's supposed to be.
Similar to kids, really. That's exactly what's happening with our children. Okay, if you've got a favourite cocktail recipe that you'd like to share with the class, we'd love to hear from you.
That you order on Amazon.
Maybe you've got it on a subscription. Then let us know, please. It's tom@toasterpod.com. That is me. You'd email me directly, tom@toasterpod.com. Equally, if you are going to investigate the moths, we'd also like to hear from you on that, because we're going to get that.
Oh, I'm just not sure.
It's because they're everywhere. And they're
I'm so freaked out by it.
It's just unbelievable getting a wasp army. Tom at toasterpod.com. We're going to have a quick break now for some products, because, of course, what more could you want as we talk about products, the more products. In a moment, though, we've had a message from Heather. Hello, Heather, who was asking for more details on something we mentioned on this little side project, this toaster side hustle. What are we calling it?
Side order.
Side order. Well, today we're toasting Sophie McCartney. So we'll tell you more about that in just a moment. But for now, here are some other products.
What's the purchase history of this jokester? Stay tuned for my mate bought a toaster.
Hello, welcome back to My Mate Bought a Toaster Side Order. Yeah, I quite like that. Today we are toasting Sophie McCartney, who was on the episode on Tuesday. So we'll get on to Heather's email in a moment. Heather is asking for more details on something we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Back at Sophie's episode, great ghost story, talked about the water ghosts.
It was good. I didn't buy the water ghosts, I'm afraid. I just thought they had like some sort of plumbing problem in the hotel.
Yeah.
It wasn't that spooky to me, but the crawl space in her house, that was good.
Could you survive knowing there's a crawl space under your house? Wouldn't that spook you out?
Yeah, but it was that she described it as being cold and having a feeling of dread.
Oh, that was the room. That wasn't the crawl space. So there's a room that her son was in.
Yeah, but the crawl space and the feeling of dread space was much creepier to me than the water ghosts.
So we love ghosts. We love the show Uncanny. Danny Robbins has been on this podcast. If you haven't listened to Uncanny, you must. It's an absolute treat. We're all addicted to Uncanny in our house. The kids love it. We love it. I suspect the dogs love it, but they have no way of telling us. And when we bought this house, when we moved into this house, we felt there was a presence, didn't we? We've never told the kids because it would probably rattle them. And then the other day, our neighbours started talking about ghosts.
Yeah, they've seen the ghost of a little girl. Or one of them has seen the ghost of a little girl.
Well, there was an orphanage. This building behind me, which is now a flat, was once an orphanage. So maybe one of the girls had escaped the orphanage.
Yeah. I mean, it just...
Go on, you can say bollocks.
I love hearing other people's ghost stories. Love it.
Yeah.
But whenever I try to talk about it relating to me, I just feel so ridiculous that I run aground.
So we should say, to paint a picture... You go to one of our neighbours has taken up reflexology recently, and you go to her house. She does reflexology while you sit there next to her tank, which has got a snake in it.
Yeah, Hugo the snake.
Her snake looks at you.
Yeah.
While she squeezes your feet and tells you ghost stories.
Yeah, that's basically it. We have really big gossips. They're often about ghosts because we're both into them.
While she squeezes your feet and goes, oh, your kidneys are strong today.
Yeah. I love it. It's the high point of my week.
It really is, because you love getting your feet squeezed. But so it was when this was happening that she told you the ghost story.
Yeah, that they'd been having some problems. And of course, I was thrilled because I love hearing other people's ghost stories. And then I was thinking, oh, you know, we're right next door to them. Would this little girl kind of come round to ours?
Yeah.
And then I'm sort of glad that she hasn't.
Well, so I would say to add to this, and this is really, sometimes words put too much form to what is a vibe, a feeling, a thing we've sort of vaguely mentioned. But when we first moved in, and this is probably just a human reaction to being in a new space. But when we first moved in, I felt a really strong sense that someone was there.
Yeah.
And it was in the front main bedroom, wasn't it?
I felt it in the middle bedroom.
Fine. But I felt a really strong sense. And it was, and what was so weird is we both felt this, it was a friendly thing.
It was curious, like somebody looking at me curiously. But I mean, I feel so stupid saying that.
Of course. Of course.
I feel ridiculous.
Because we're completely
embarrassed.
We're not going to believe in ghosts. It's all ghost stories. Just, I love the stories element to it. But I would say that our youngest son, who sleeps in one of those rooms, will not go in his room by himself.
Yeah, but that's just him being a child.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, ghost stories then. Thank you, Sophie, for a lovely ghost story. Now, the other thing as well, which we touched upon, was the beagle. Now, I bloody love a beagle because
love a beagle.
Beth and I have owned dogs for years. When we had our first dog, Polly, there was some great beagles in the park. And the thing I learned about beagles is their bark, which Sophie did a brilliant impression of. And then the story about her losing the dog was magnificent.
Fantastic, yeah.
Do you want to tell your story about the time you lost our dog?
Oh, no, that's such a bad time in my life. It was so bad.
It was really bad.
I was having a very stressful day and I went to collect our son from school and I was with a group of people, and I tied up our dog, and I went in the back entrance of the school, leaving the dog tied up at the back. And inexplicably, I went out the front entrance.
Oh, it's easily done. Oh.
I mean, it isn't. It's the worst thing I've ever done. I will never recover. I'm totally scarred by it.
It happened 10 years ago. It's still too soon to talk about.
And I went home, and then it was like 3 hours later, you got home, and you said, "Where's the dog?" And I looked at where her lead was hung, and it wasn't there. Yeah. And I remembered, and it was awful. I mean, I just broke down.
You did. I ran. Oh, I got a bike, I think, over to the school, which took 3 minutes. I got there. She was absolutely fine. She'd been barking.
Oh, it's just
a neighbour was out there with her. It was horrendous, but she was fine. She was absolutely fine. But
then, you know,
God.
Like it's awful because the end of the story, like Millie, Sophie's dog, Polly is now dead.
Yeah, so that's what dogs do.
The end of the story is that the dog died.
But then, equally, Sophie got a new dog, which fancies her.
Yeah, that was the joke you forgot to make as well. Woody.
Oh, yeah.
He got Wood.
Well, this is very useful doing this spin-off because you can take me through all the jokes I missed. God.
Yeah.
She got Woody, who gets Woods.
Did they name him after or before he got his pencil out?
No, I don't know. Lipstick. It's the lipstick, isn't it? And the dog jumped up halfway through the recording, which was just lovely. Really nice dog. But I love the fact that that dog has imprinted on her because that's what's happened to us here, isn't it?
It is a bit. Phoebe loves you and Peggy loves me.
Yeah. Yeah. Phoebe is obsessed with me. And it's nice when you've got that dog who's completely obsessed with you. And she also, I think, was buying products for the dog on Amazon. We do a lot of that as well.
Senior kibble, was it, she bought?
Yeah, for the previous one. Yeah. So nice dog story there. And then something we should do, actually, before we get to the end of today's bonus spin-off episode, because Heather messaged, right? Hello, Heather. And she was asking about something we talked about last time we did this spin-off, which is a product you, Beth, bought. Because you had a moment where you decided that all plastic was in our food and you wanted to kind of make a stand against plastic.
Yeah.
So we just mentioned this and then Heather was asking for more details. So let's take people through the stuff that you bought. You bought a nutmeg chopping board.
Yeah. So everybody has those plastic chopping boards and apparently they release, when you chop and when you put them in the dishwasher and things like that, they release microplastics into your food.
Yeah.
So
which just feels like a shame.
I turned to our friend, the renowned food writer, Kathy Slack. And I said, what board should I buy that's good? And she recommended the Epicurean nutmeg board. So I went online to Amazon and I thought, how much? Because it was really, really expensive. But, you know, Kathy likes nice things and I'm tight.
So at this point, I'm guessing people are thinking, oh, wow, okay. It's a posh nutmeg chopping board. You've gone, how much? So it's going to be like 60 quid or something. This gives you a sense of how little money the author Beth Murray has. How much is it?
Well, it's about £25 on Amazon.
Guys. It's £25. That's not considering, you know, as a cost to avoid microplastics going into your children's digestive system. That seems like a snip. Seems like a good deal.
Well, what I did was I did buy the Epicurean nutmeg board, and I'm going to find out, because it was on a deal, and I'm going to find out what I bought it for.
Right, okay. And don't forget, we will, by the way, be putting a link. Again, it's an affiliate link, so if you buy it through the link, you might get a notice saying you're making money for ToasterPod or something. So thanks if you do that. But no worries if you don't want to. Go on, you've got, what deal did you get it on?
I bought it for £9.13.
No way!
I know, isn't that amazing?
£25 here.
I know. I don't know how I managed that, but I'm looking at the invoice and I bought it for £9.13. And it's really good.
It's really good.
And you can put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
And you can feel good about yourself.
Yeah, no, I actually, do you know what? I never thought I'd be so animated about
it's quite handsome as well.
Chopping board.
Lovely colour.
Yeah, I know. It's got some nice reviews. Good product, someone said. Happy with product and service. Someone says, will last forever. Excellent board. We know from a previous smaller board, it will last forever. Unlikely the plastic/nylon boards from Joseph Joseph. Oh, unlike the plastic nylon boards from Joseph Joseph that we have binned, you see.
Well, now I think maybe I bought the smaller board and that was why it was cheaper.
Maybe.
But it was definitely a deal.
Lulu says, bought this as my friend has had one for 20 years, but this isn't the same quality, although the same make, and it's heavily scratched after just a couple of weeks. Doesn't matter if it's scratched. It's a chopping board.
Well, isn't that the point? That it doesn't matter because it's not going to release microplastics.
Yeah. Let it get scratched.
Anyway, ours seems fine.
Let it get scratched. Yeah, okay, fine. So we've talked about chopping boards. That is, this is the kind of, you know, conversational and product dead ends that you can expect here on the spin-off show of My Mate Bought a Toaster. And the other thing as well, which Heather asked us to mention, is the glass food storage. So for years, you know, our Tupperware drawer was an orgy of microplastics, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was really bad. And now we have these glass Tupperwares, which I admit have a flaw in that they're glass. And every time you lift them up, you think, how long is it going to be before I drop one of these? And yeah, we will. But they don't have microplastics in.
No, I and really like them. They're
you can
really
put them
nice
in the oven. You can put them in the microwave. You can put them in the dishwasher.
You cannot put them. I can tell you where you cannot put them. Your son's packed lunch bag.
No, that doesn't work. But, you know, that's in all other respects, I think they were a good deal.
Yeah. I will say they're dead cheap-ish. I mean, again, you might get upset at this, but
I mean, I'd have got them on a deal because I never buy anything unless it's on a deal.
Well,
but also, your Tupperware drawer, I've discovered, because you know your Tupperware drawer is notoriously messy.
Yeah.
I've discovered since we bought them, our Tupperware drawer is really neat.
Yeah, because I think the plastic you chuck in and it just sort of roams.
Yeah, well, I have to stack this
plastic
carefully.
Is a bit sentient. It just sort of roams around in a sort of... like, well, you've seen Toy Story. All those plastic toys are sentient.
Yeah.
I think plastic at night, Tupperware, comes to life.
Good theory.
Right?
We're not haunted by ghosts. We're haunted by Tupperware.
where's the Tupperware version of Toy Story? So, but the glass is a bit chunkier.
Mm.
You pop it in. But I've had a lot of near misses when I've seen it in the microwave. There's beans warming in the microwave.
Yeah.
And I grab it thinking
it's nerve-wracking.
It's nerve-wracking. So you do need to, you know, you need to sort of recalibrate your expectations when you go to your storage stuff. But they're really good. Again, we'll put a link in. Scrome is the one we got. 36-pack food storage containers for £22, Beth.
I don't think I got that many.
That's
I think
loads.
I got 12. Because I wouldn't spend £22.
Perfect. Look at the reviews here. Haven't leaked yet. Not bad.
Mm.
Nice, but not for the dishwasher, someone says. Well, I disagree with that person.
Oops.
What?
I'm sure they said they were
No, well, that suggests hungry. Not. They haven't done well in the dishwasher. Of course they're for the dishwasher. They're glass.
They're fine.
Of course they're for the dishwasher. Someone called Ketria says they came in a variety of shapes and sizes with secure lids, easy to stack. Exactly what I needed. Happy with my purchase. Look at these reviews.
One star there.
Oh, yeah. Cheap, cheap, cheap. Someone called Ed. Do not buy. These are so low quality that about 50% of the clips break when you use them and they're unusable. Please don't waste your money.
Ed's brutal.
I'd really disagree with that.
Yeah,
I think I think they're doing very well so far. All right. Okay, fine. So that's a Tupperware tangent. Again, we'll put a little link to that in the show description. And then finally, a few final things from the Sophie McCartney episode. The ice crunchy maker. Did we ever get one of those?
No, and obviously I wouldn't now.
No.
We've had stuff that's sort of similar, like popcorn maker type things. I think we got a chocolate fondue once.
You've got a very strict policy about cupboard space. You will not. Because I wanted to get an air fryer. And you won't allow it.
There's just so much shit in our kitchen. I can't have more stuff.
Mm.
More stuff that I could do otherwise myself.
Yeah. It's because our kitchen is full of cocktail ingredients. If you threw away some of that cane syrup, we'd have more space for
it. I don't do cocktails anymore, I said.
And then finally, which we have put out as a clip, in fact. Go and give us a follow at ToasterPod on all the bits and bobs. The filing system at the end, I really enjoyed that when Sophie got her... was like a shoebox or something, and you can see it on camera. There's a clip on our Instagram, and it is just it's complete carnage. And it was like, I've got a new accountant who's going to have a nervous breakdown. Who still does the paper receipts everywhere?
I was very paranoid about my receipts for ages, and I had this massive box that I kept the receipts in.
Yes, in my
just
room,
in case,
in my study. Yeah.
And then I had this sort of ceremonial getting rid of, but it really made me nervous because I thought you have to have the paper trail.
What's the number? I've asked my accountant this so many times. If you're self-employed, what is the year when you can get rid of stuff? I think it's 6 years,
5 years.
Is it five?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Well, I've because that moment, because it used to be back in the day before receipts were much more digital, I would have. Huge shoeboxes full of taxi receipts from 2006.
So annoying. Because you wouldn't be able to find anything.
No.
So it was pointless keeping it.
No. But what I loved about the tour of Sophie's receipts box, in fact, I've got my receipts box here. Though. This is a good way to finish this episode. Look. But this hasn't really been used for a while now because we've moved beyond this now. But look, you can see on the, this is a chocolate box, Marks & Spencer's Belgian collection, and I've written
classic,
the year.
Classic.
1415. Now cross that out. Oh, no, 1314. Then 1718 was when I stopped. But if you open it, it's just full of bits of. I mean, there's some random receipts in here, but it's from a long time ago.
Pointless keeping it.
I don't know why I'm attached to these things.
I mean, this was why I felt like me and Sophie would be great mates, because we're similar in many ways, but in the receipts and organisational way.
Yeah.
She just made me really anxious.
Yeah.
Because she's messy and
all. Yeah, it was. Even I felt better when I saw that.
Yeah, it was too random. But the other reason that I can't be friends with her in the end is the book thing.
Yes, I was going to say, I did mention it on the podcast. So Sophie's book, which I can't remember the name of now, but
it's called Tired and Tested.
Oh, well done.
I know, because I looked it up.
I think that might be her Instagram handle. And it is very good, to the point where it's got, this is tricky, because it has got very good reviews.
Unbelievable. I was listening to the podcast and I was like, you what? And I went straight onto Amazon and looked it up. You're right. Having that, so she's got an average rating of 4.8, which is just insane.
Yeah.
And usually, you're right, the only way that you get that is if you've got like 5 reviews and they were all your mum.
Yeah.
People just don't have, like, a good rating on Amazon is 4.4.
What have you got on your, for your, so Beth has published, how many books have you published?
I've got 5, obviously.
Sure.
I think I've got 4.4 on 2 of them, which is
very good.
And then I've got 4.2 on the other one that everyone hates. So 4.8 is just off the scale good. And she's got over 1,000 ratings.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
I am.
Yeah.
Livid.
Well, we've been on a journey, because at the beginning you're saying how we all fancied Sophie a bit.
Yeah,
she's totally brilliant and hilarious.
I can't stand her.
We can never say she's a hateful woman.
Yeah.
Absolutely awful.
Yeah, can't bear it.
Unfollow her straight away. Sophie McCartney is the devil. Of course, I'm being ridiculous and joking, just in case. She's brilliant. Go and follow her. And also go and read Beth's book as well. It's on Amazon, isn't it? Right there. Go and write a nice review, please. Don't take the slightly Germanic approach that someone did earlier on. I love this product, 4 stars.
Bring my average up, please.
Yeah, get the average up. Okay, fine. Well, we'll do this again soon. Next week, we've got Guz Khan on the show. I'm interviewing him tomorrow. So he will be our guest next week. And if you've got time, Beth, maybe we'll do this again.
I'll see. I'll check my schedule.
Okay, fine. All right, do let me know. Send me a WhatsApp, which I won't check. Will you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye, bye-bye.
Bye. It's my mate. My mate, boy, toast.